the book of Leviticus. And you can turn to the seventh chapter this morning, Leviticus chapter 7. While you're turning there, I will remind you that we are continuing our series of Christ in the Pentateuch. And this morning, once again, we arrive in Leviticus chapters 5, 6, and 7 that deal with the trespass offering. You'll remember that the Levitical system is God's accessible access to himself. That alone at that time in God's plan was acceptable to him. The Levitical system provided access, acceptable access into the presence of the true and the living God. It provided that access through atonement. Kafar, a covering. The Levitical system provided the covering over, the covering up of sins. We have been looking at that Levitical system, especially the four major offerings, the burnt offering with its emphasis on completeness, the peace offering with its emphasis on conciliation, the sin offering with its emphasis on correction, and for the last 2 weeks, the trespass offering with its emphasis on the cost of that sacrifice. And we saw how the trespass offering and the sin offering were coupled. Your attention, please, to verse 37 of Leviticus chapter 7. This is the law of the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the consecrations, and the sacrifice of the peace offering, which the Lord commanded Moses on Mount Sinai on the day when he commanded the children of Israel to offer their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of sin. The Levitical system provided then acceptable access into the presence of the true and the living God through sacrifice. Those sacrifices had similarity. They were a provision of God. And our attention has been focused on the herds that the people of Israel cared for. God had given to them this provision. And out from the herds, they were to offer up sacrifices to the Lord. Those sacrifices were to be from the very finest, the best, the perfect from each of the herds that God had provided. And those who were bringing the offering had to personally identify with that offering, the laying of hands on the head of the offering. And in so doing, the provision was of protection. God would not bring judgment. He would withhold his hand of judgment because now the sins that separate the people from the true and the living God have been covered over. As the sacrifices were offered up, they were pleasing. An aroma, a sweet savor to the Lord. And thus, as we have been going through the Levitical system, we have seen these similarities of especially the four major offerings. When we came to the trespass offering, we saw some specifics unique to the trespass offering, some 10 unique elements. It concerned itself with concealment, condemnation, contamination, carelessness, confession. It was coupled, as we said earlier, with the sin offering. And there were those confession and concessions, unique things that were provided because the cost might be too great for everyone. And so there were concessions made to bring a lesser costly offering unto the Lord. These offerings were addressing the violation, the contamination of the contaminated things of the Levitical system. Compensation was to be made for any who had lost that which was of value because of a trespass, a transgression. The emphasis throughout the trespass offering is on the cost, the value of that sacrifice that was being offered because of a transgression. The Old Testament, then, provided a law. That law had a system, the Levitical system, of sacrifice. That was God's provision of acceptable access to Himself, atonement, the covering of sins. God was merciful. That was because He was providing for unintentional sins a covering. There was no covering for intentional sins. Rather than mercy, judgment. There would be a cutting off. That judgment could take the form of discipline. You were no longer part of the family, able to participate in worship. You were ostracized. It could bring about the ultimate discipline, death. So for unintentional sins, a covering. Intentional sins, no mercy, justice. The law was just. But in the New Testament, we are now introduced in the fullness of God's revelation of the grace of God. He has been gracious down through the ages of time. But as John reminds us, the law came by way of Moses, but grace and truth was demonstrated, put on display through Christ Jesus. And thus, we come this morning to look at the grace of God, the sacrifice that He provided graciously in His Son. Romans, the third chapter, Romans chapter 3. And we're looking at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law was given specifically to the people of Israel. They were thus under that law. This was a conditional relationship that God had established with them. Do this, I will be with you, personally, in power, to prosper you, to bless you. This law has demonstrated that it was a sentence of guilt and death, for the law demanded that which man was incapable of doing and being in himself, holiness. And so those under the law were under the condemnation of the law. But that condemnation extended to all the world by way of the law. See, the law was not just the revelation of the holiness of God to the nation of Israel. It was God's means of revealing his holiness to all of his creation. And thus, all the world, by means of the law, is guilty before God. Condemned. There's no hope in the letter of the law. The spirit of the law provided provision. But the law was conditional. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. This is why we don't sing, when we sing our gospel songs and hymns, the word pardoned. Because the pardon does not deal with justice. It does not deal with the penalty. Justification is a declarative act of God. God declares right with him those who the penalty has been paid for. Mercy, pardon, covers. A sacrifice now, the blood of Christ, is God's provision of justification, justifying, declaring right with him because justice has been enacted. The penalty has been paid. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. It declared sin. It exposed sin. But now, the righteousness of God, right standing before God, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Now there is the opening up, the demonstration, not just the declaration, but now on display is the righteousness of God. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. But the law had a part, being witnessed by the law. It testified to God's righteousness. It declared God's righteousness, but you know what it couldn't do? It couldn't deliver God's righteousness. It was a declaration, but it could not deliver. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God has now provided right standing, a relationship with him that is absolutely right. How? Not through the law, but through the sacrifice of Christ and one's faith in him. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all, on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified, therefore, declared, and thus in God's sight, right with him, being justified freely. The law, conditional, convicted of sin, condemned in sin. Righteousness of God, now revealed in Christ. Justification. God is declaring those who have believed in Christ right with him. In a relationship that is unconditional, freely given by God, freely through grace. Grace is that undeserved, unearned, unconditional favor of God's person and power present in a life. We sometimes think, and we sang this morning about grace, as it being something nebulous. It's personal. See, grace is part of the very character of our God. He, because of who he is, has reached out to those that don't deserve his favor. He has reached out to those who are unable to earn his favor. He has reached out to those without placing any condition on those whom he is favoring. Favoring how? With a relationship with them. With his personal, powerful, and now in the New Testament, permanent presence. He was with and in for time in the Old Testament those who believed in him. But now, the grace of God is fully on display in Christ. We are declared in a right relationship with him on the basis of what Christ has done in our behalf. Thus, God is able to declare freely by his grace a favor of his presence and power in our lives that we could have in no other way. This righteousness, this justifying of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, the purchasing out. You remember, all of you flash back to your first year in Greek, the first Greek verb that you conjugated, luo, to loose. That's one of those Greek words that everybody remembers because it connects with the English, to loose. To loose, to set free. We have been redeemed, set free, loosed from sin's power, from sin's penalty. And not only released, but apolatrosis. You remember that? That little prefix that tells us we've been set free from. There's now no connection to sin. I am no longer under his power, and I am no longer under his penalty. Apolatrosis, redemption. He set us free through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation. He set forth as a propitiation. Remember, the whole Levitical system was God's provision of mercy, covered up, covered over. No justice, just mercy. Justice demands punishment. But God mercifully, and that was what was provided in the tabernacle and later in the temple, the access into his presence at the high priest in behalf of the people went in once a year for the purpose of establishing that relationship. We'll look at that, Lord willing, next week, the Day of Atonement. And there, the sacrificial blood was applied to the mercy seat. God was being merciful. But there, in the tabernacle, there, in the temple, the mercy had no justice attached to it. But Christ has become the propitiation, that's the mercy seat. That's the place where God's mercy is poured out. But not just mercy. He's also poured out his justice. He is the propitiation, the place of God's extending mercy to us. How? by his blood through faith. For what purpose? To demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance in the past, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Why is now this propitiation possible? It's because it was in the plan of God. And in the plan of God, prior to this perfect sacrifice, a system of sacrifices were in place for the purpose of covering over, being merciful to the sinner. God, in the past, passed over, covered over, but not anymore. But in these last days, he is demonstrating his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate, to now deliver, to set forth his righteousness, to demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. See, God is merciful. Thanks be to God for his mercy. But he's more than merciful. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. And all of the revelation of God in the Old Testament, under the Levitical system specifically, declared that God is holy. But God is merciful. But God is just. And in his justice, cut off. In his justice, death. That's what is just. He is just. But in Christ Jesus, he's also the justifier. He's declared his holiness, his righteousness, his justice. But he also has taken the penalty that is just for sin on himself. So he's just, and he's the justifier. He both declared his justice, and he delivered his justice through the sacrifice of himself. You see, that was not a good man dying on the cross. That was not the very best man that ever walked on the earth dying on the cross. That was not some personification of Almighty God dying on the cross. That was God in person. He's the just and the justifier. He died in your place and my place. That's the magnificence of the perfect sacrifice of Christ Jesus our Lord. He, God Himself, He who knew no sin, God the Son, He, the Father, made him to become what? Sin for us, that we might become declared and thus be in God's sight righteous in him. How does he do that? By the offering of himself. He's provided what could be provided in no other way. To demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he may be the just and the justifier of all who believe, who have faith in Jesus. And just so we understand fully that everyone needs that justification, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. By the natural process, you and I are here, and millions have come before, and we do not know how many will follow. The human does not simply have a propensity, does not have an inclination towards sinning. He has a sin nature. There is nothing good in the natural man, not one little thing. The reason for that is, I checked my genealogy. And my genealogy takes me back to Adam. You're there too. All are traced back to Adam. And what does that allow us to know about ourselves? We have a pedigree. You, the descendant of Adam. And as his descendant, I was there in his sin. I sinned in my father, in my ancestor, and I was there. In fact, all of humanity was in Adam's sin. No one is excused from that. Used to be an expression, I think it was probably before everyone's time here, except when you were very young. In the Second World War, they had an expression, was you there, Charlie? Was you there, Charlie? Yeah, I was there in Adam's transgression, in his willful act of disobedience. I know it was that. I keep on reading, because God said, Adam, personal relationship, Adam, I've given you all you need. I've provided for myself that which allows you to enjoy all that I want you to have. One exception. Do not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because when you do that, you've changed everything. The relationship is shot. It's separated. It's shattered. That's why, even though Eve succumbed to the deception of Satan, the responsibility for sin on the human race falls on Adam. Because he willfully, God spoke to him, do not do this. She got it secondhand. She was deceived. But in Adam, we are all in his transgression. No one's exempt. How do I know that? Because we all die. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. The wages of sin is death. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Sin was always in the human experience from the time of Adam. A transgression was not always performed. a willful disobedience. When the law came, now there is a registering, an imputing, a reckoning. The law says what you do in your natural man, Adam, is a transgression. That's what the law was put here for. You are condemned, guilty of willfully transgressing, even though you may not have done that over the period of time from Adam all the way up to Moses. There wasn't always the same transgressions taking place, willful disobedience, but there was always sin. How do I know that? All died. No one was exempt. Because we're in that willful act of disobedience. Sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed, put to our account, registered, where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned. May not have been registered before then, but now it is. But the proof of the pudding's in the eating. Death reigned. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Not everyone was transgressing, but they were all in that transgression and all sinning. And the penalty for sin is death. No exclusions. But, biggest little word in the Bible, but, everything's going to change. The free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's transgression, offense, same Greek word, many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one, Jesus Christ, abounded unto many. Adam, forever, marked the destiny of man. What's the mark? Death. That is the mark. That's what Adam gave to the human race. There's another one like Adam that marked the human race altogether differently. Rather than marking it in death, he marked the human race in life. Different. Different consequence. As Adam, all die in Christ, but all live. But the free gift is like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded unto many. Adam impacted, Christ impacted. Adam for death, Christ for life. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense or transgression resulted in condemnation. But here's the contrast, the free gift which came out from many offenses resulted in justification. One act, Adam's willful transgression, marked humanity. Sin. Death. That one act. Now, out of many transgressions, the sins of the world. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, John says, but for the sins of the whole world from the beginning of time throughout the ages of time. And because of that, he now, out of those transgressions, has provided not condemnation as the one act did, but life. justification, right standing before God. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense, transgression, resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came out from many transgressions resulted in declaration of being right with God, justification. For if by one man's transgression, offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of, there's that freely gave, there's that grace, and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, transgression, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man, his righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification, declared right before God, unto life. For as by one man's disobedience, transgression, willful act, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the transgression, the offense, might abound. But here's our biggest little word in the Bible. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so in grace, so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Levitical system. God's provision under the law, a conditional provision of acceptable access to himself. Atonement. One has access into the presence of a holy, righteous, merciful, just God through the covering over of sin. But in the New Testament, not the law, not the Levitical system, but our Lord offering himself in our behalf, satisfying the justice and righteousness of God, allows now access, acceptable access, a relationship not conditioned, but unconditional, a gracious, undeserved, unearned, unconditioned experiencing of the favor of the true and the living God in our lives. Therefore, we rejoice in our trespass offering, Christ himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be declared, and thus be, in fact, in him, right before God. Thanks be to God for his grace. For by grace are we saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath preordained, that now as a new creation in Christ Jesus, we should be walking about in those good works. For what purpose? To his eternal praise. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. We bow before you. As a people whom you have declared and revealed are going to be on display throughout eternity as the demonstration of your grace forever and forever. We rejoice in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.